Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, this morning, we're starting what we have been leading up to for a while, talking about, and that is Awaken Wichita Falls. And I'm very excited about the next few weeks and days together as we do what this says. Awaken is a movement of prayer and fasting focused on unifying the church to bless our city by strategically praying for one person at a time. And I want to encourage you, if you have not already done so, to please pick up your Awaken packet in the atrium. If you're not here today, come by the office tomorrow and get that packet. If you can't get out, call the office and we will deliver one of those packets to you, because you need the resources that are in that packet this week to prepare. Our 30 days of prayer and fasting for our city are going to begin Friday, March the 5th, so the end of this week. So you need that packet to go ahead and get ready and get prepared. There's several resources in there that are going to help you know how you're going to pray and fast, going to help you decide who the eight people are that you are specifically going to be focused on and praying for over that 30 days. And so prayer is a huge part of Awaken. And Jana Fristo has done a great job of turning what has usually been our family room into a prayer room. And so I encourage you to stop by and see the prayer room. I encourage you to come up at any time during the week, during the weekend, and spend some time in that room praying. There's several prayer stations. There are journals for you to write in. They'll be public so other people could pray for some things that you've written down. There's going to be a display on the wall where you could put some names and some situations, but that'll be kind of prayer central for us. We want to be praying in our homes. We want to be praying in our cars, but also there's a special place that you can come and pray, and so I encourage you to take part in that as well. Well, one thing about the winter storm that we all experienced a couple of weeks ago is that as we watched, we saw it bring out the very best in people. Did you experience that as well? It was so good to see people just rise to the occasion and take care of family, take care of neighbors, even take care of strangers, acts of unreserved and undeserved kindness that were just experienced all over our state and in our city this last week. My family personally experienced the help of neighbors and the help of strangers. For me, I was headed on Tuesday morning. We had had the first snow. We were getting ready for the second snow. I thought, well, I need a little bit more hay for my cows, and so I was going to drive over to my neighbor's and buy some extra hay from him, but I got stuck. I couldn't get that far. I called him and told him and said, don't wait on me, and it's okay, I'm covered, and I didn't think another thing about it. And then that evening, about 5 o'clock, my neighbor drives up in his four-wheel drive truck, which, by the way, I've decided I need one of those, and he drives up in his truck, and he unloads a load of hay and feed for me at no charge and just is a good neighbor. And there were so many good neighbors around. Brent and Abby here in town, they were staying with her family because they didn't have an electricity. And about day three of that, their neighbor is a fireman, and he noticed water coming out of their garage. So he didn't know exactly how to get in touch with them. But he looked on Facebook and he saw that Carrie Ritchie was a mutual friend. And since he and Carrie were firemen together, he called me and I called Brent and we got it all taken care of. But again, neighbors helping out. JP and Holly down in College Station, they had the worst of it. They had pipes burst in their bathroom that leaked down into their kitchen and their whole ceiling caved in. And they had no place to go at that moment, but Holly, thank the Lord, started her teaching job back in January, and a teacher across the hall that's kind of their age that she had just met, she called them and told them what was happening, and they immediately said, get in your car, come over here, and they just took care of them. And we all have stories to share like that, because it really does bring out the very best in us of people doing what they can to help their neighbor and going the extra mile. And today, as we begin this Awaken series, we're going to ask the Lord to awaken us to the people around us. And we're going to hear Jesus tell a story about being a good neighbor. I want to welcome
Welch Street Church of Christ participating in Awaken with us, and Rodney is preaching this sermon in their congregation, and I'm preaching it here, and we're going to go through this together and are thankful for that opportunity. And I pray that next year when we do something like this, we'll have more congregations around our city who are dedicating themselves to fast and pray for folks in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, our churches. If you will, this morning, take your Bible or your device and go to Luke chapter 10. Going to read together there, starting in verse 25, Luke 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What's written in the law?" Jesus said. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" I want to stop right there and notice a couple of things about this man that we have in common with him, and then move on to the story that Jesus tells. The man is obviously a very religious person. The world would consider you to be religious people. You go to church. He went to synagogue. You read your Bible. He read his Bible. He wanted to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven. We share all those things in common with this man. And also something we share in common with him is he's trying to figure out what to do with Jesus. And I think that many of you in this room, even though you may have been Christians your entire lives, still come upon situations in your life where you're trying to figure out what to do with Jesus. And so the man came with mixed motives. He was there, it says, to test Jesus. I think it's because he was probably going through some kind of test as well. And you very well may have mixed motives. Maybe mixed motives about being here or being online with us. Maybe mixed motives about this whole awaken and praying and fasting and neighbors. I think we have a lot in common with this man. And I think the key to this story is the question that he asked, and that is, what do I need to do to have eternal life? I think this whole story is about life. I think the neighbor is the illustration, but the story, I think, is about life, because that's the man's question. What do I need to do to live? To live forever. What language we would say, what do I need to do to go to heaven? But when we talk about going to heaven, one of the things we know about heaven is it's eternal. And we get to live and be with God and be with the Lord Jesus forever. And that is what this man is interested in knowing. What do I need to do? And Jesus, in answer to the man's question and in answer to our question about life eternal, Jesus answers by pointing to life right now. And I think there's a real key there, because I think too often we think in terms of Christianity about what it's going to achieve in the end, life eternal later. And what Jesus is coming into the world to do and say and teach and show and calling us to do is, you know what? Life in Him begins now. Eternal life has already begun for us. And we can have life now, not just life then. And I think Jesus helps answer that question with this story. You know, I've heard a phrase before that I honestly don't know if I like the phrase or not. But the phrase is that you can be so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good. And I'm not sure I know what that means. And I think that depending on who is using it determines on what it means. But I do think that this man, like many of us, get in this church life and in this church mentality, again, for what it's going to achieve later, what it's going to bring later. And Jesus says, let's talk about right now. And then he tells his story. So that's one thing that I think we can identify with this man. Another thing that I think we can identify with this man is what is said in verse 29. Because it says, the man wanted to justify himself. And if we're really honest with ourselves, many times we come to Jesus looking to be justified, looking to be validated, looking to be assured. But very often in Scripture, and very often in my life and yours, what Jesus gives us is a challenge. What Jesus gives us is a question or a story that moves us from one plane of thought to another plane of thought, from one way of thinking to another way of thinking, from one way of living to another way of living. Jesus challenges us and he calls us higher. I love that song and I love that we sang that song because Jesus, we come and we want validation. We want, Jesus, would you just let me know that I'm doing okay? That's what I usually want to know from Jesus. Let me know that I'm doing okay. That's what this man wanted. And Jesus very often hears us. He accepts us with our mixed motives. He accepts us really just wanting to be validated. But he says, you know what? Let me just call you deeper. And let me call you higher. Instead of a pat on the back. Instead of a good job. What the man wanted and what we want Jesus to give us really is just a checklist. We want some bullet points. Would you just tell me what I need to do? And would you tell me if what I'm doing is okay? And Jesus instead offers a story. And again, if we're honest with ourselves, too many of us approach the Christian life and approach Jesus in that way. Honestly, probably many of you wish I'd quit talking about prayer and fasting. Wish we didn't have to think so much about discipleship and disciple making and noticing lost people and praying for them and serving for them. What we really want is a nice little package and checklist that I can come to church and I can sing some songs and I can read some scriptures and I can hear a sermon and I can take communion and I can put something in the contribution box and then I will be validated and I'll get a good job from Jesus and I can go about my life. And Jesus tells us a story that just disrupts all of that thinking. So let's continue in verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey and he brought him to an inn and he took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, well, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus looked at him. And he looks at you He says, go and do likewise. Okay, you could have told that story. You know that story. That story has so permeated our culture that people who do not even believe in the Bible and have never read the Bible know that story and know what it means when you say Good Samaritan. So the question is for me and for you, what in the world do you do with a story that you have heard a million times? What do you do with a story that you know by heart? And the answer is, go and do it. That's the answer. What do you do with this story? You do exactly what Jesus said at the end. Go do it. Go do it. Obey what Jesus has to say. And that is what Awaken Wichita Falls is all about. It is an opportunity for us as a church to come together, and it always helps when we're coming together, when we're doing something together, when we're focused and united in something, because there is just strength in numbers and accountability and encouragement. And this is an opportunity for us to hear Jesus say to us, go and do this, and for us to say, yes, Lord, and to go and do it, to go live out this story. And what we're going to find, what we do find, is that when we obey Jesus, when we go do what Jesus calls us to go do, then the question that the man asks gets answered in our lives, and we find life. We find what living really is when we go and do what Jesus asks us to go and to do. And not life hereafter, although with all of my heart, I believe in life hereafter, but I believe Jesus wants us to have life now. And we get that when we go and we do what Jesus says to go and do. And it's not found in rules and regulations and in rituals. It's found in the answer the man already had and said out loud to Jesus. It's found in loving God and in loving other people. That's where life is found. That's where life in Jesus is found, in loving God and in loving other people. Those are what we call the greatest commandments, and that's how we really have life. We have the life that we are looking for in Jesus when we see God and when we see people. And see, we're looking for all kinds of other checklists and bullet points. And the answer always is, for Jesus, it always comes back to God and people. That's what life in Jesus is all about. That's what Awaken is all about, is for us to see God and to see people. Did you notice how many times in the story this phrase is there, that they saw him? But then what are you going to do when you see? Are we going to see people as obstacles that we have to go around? Are we going to see people as opportunities presented by Jesus? Are we going to see people as interruptions that get in our way? Are we going to see people as inspirations, an inspired encounter brought by God? Seeing people, all kinds of people, all the time. People that we know, people we interact with, people that we try to avoid. I mean, it was the religious people in the story who went around, who went on the other side of the road, who saw this poor, helpless man as an obstacle and as an interruption, and they saw him and they went around. It was the Samaritan who saw an opportunity, who saw an inspiration, and who walked toward rather than walking around. And one of the things that we're asking God to do, that as you spend this time in prayer over these 30 days, that we will be asking God to do, and that I trust that God will do, is that we will be, we will awaken to the people who are around us. People who are around us every day that we just, with our blinders on, don't see. And that when we do see, too often, and I'm preaching to myself, too often I see them as interruptions and I see them as obstacles. And I'm concerned about a lot of other things that I want to be doing right and that I want God to justify me in. And Jesus tells me this story and says, you know what? God and people, go and do likewise. So I want us to be, for God to awaken us to the people around us, to the inspired encounters that He gives us, the people that He puts in our path for a reason. Because you see, Jesus said in John that His Father is always at work. Do you believe that? God is always at work. God's never not at work. And God is at work moving and acting and orchestrating and blessing and challenging and testing. And God is always at work in people's lives for one purpose. And that is that they would be saved. God doesn't want any single person ever to perish. He wants every single person to have life with Him now and forever. And He is always at work to see that that happens. And what we want to do is have God awaken us in such a way that we begin to see when and where and with who He's at work. And who He's connecting us with. And how we can go. And we can do likewise. But the reality is, this is not going to be easy. These are not going to be an easy 30 days for us. They're just not. Because to live like Jesus is not easy. It was not easy for Jesus. It cost Jesus dearly to live this way. It cost Him personally. It cost Him His home. It cost Him His glory for a time. It cost Him socially. He was misunderstood. He was mistreated. He was rejected. If He had lived now, He would have been canceled. It cost Him physically. It cost Him to put Himself out for people in energy and just in being tired, being physically drained. It cost Him physically that He was abused, that He was killed. But here is the incredible thing about Jesus, is He can stand there knowing everything that it has cost Him and knowing everything that it will cost us. And He looks us in the eye and He says, but you know what? This is how you get life. This is how you have life. It's when you die to yourself that you really live. It's when you put yourself last that you end up being first. I mean, just all these backwards, upside down ways that Jesus looks us straight in the eye and with a straight face, with all sincerity, says, you know what? It doesn't make any sense at all. But you do this. You follow Me. You obey Me. You do this My way. And I promise you, that's when you get life. So, how are we going to go and do likewise? Will it? At least for the next 30 days, we're going to go and do likewise by fasting and praying. It's what Jesus did. It's what the apostles did. It's what the church did. We're going to fast and pray specifically for our city and even more specifically for you. You're going to have 8 people. And your resource packet's going to help you identify those 8 people. You're going to have 8 people that for the next 30 days you are going to pray and focus on and ask God to save them, to give them the life that you already have, to give them the future that you already have, to give them the present that you already have. All the things that you have in Jesus, we're going to be asking God to give to those people. And God wants those people to have it. There's not a one in our city that He doesn't want to be saved. And so you're going to identify eight people that you can pray for, that you can fast for, that you can dedicate some time to lifting them up to God every single day. And I'll just say here, I know for many of us, you're going to end up saying, I just don't have eight people that I know who don't know the Lord. And that's something we're going to have to grow in. But you know, if you get to four, you get to five, and you got to finish it out, you know people who need more of Jesus. And so you can include them as well. So we're going to fast and pray, and then we're just going to start paying attention to people who are in our path. We're going to start seeing people like Jesus saw people. Not as obstacles, but as opportunities. And we're going to start walking toward people rather than walking around people. We're going to see them. We're going to see their needs because they've got physical needs and they've got emotional needs and they've got relational needs. And every one of them has spiritual needs. And then the third thing is just when you see, you get a chance to put compassion into action, which is what the Good Samaritan did. He just did what he could do, what was in front of him. I've always said, I can't get my mind around being responsible for the injustices and the evils that are going on all around the world. I don't know how to get behind all those, but I believe with all my heart that when God puts an injustice or an evil or a wrong or an opportunity right in front of us, we don't have any excuse for not dealing with it. If we want to see people, pay attention and just put compassion into action. And you know what? Your busyness is going to be a problem. It's going to be one of the things that keeps you from doing this. Your fear is going to be something that's going to rise up. It's going to really challenge you to not walk toward. There's other things. But all the while, we hear the voice of the Lord just saying, go and do this. Go and do this. I want to end by telling you two stories. Stories that I hope will inspire you, encourage you, remind you that what we are embarking on has huge ramifications in people's lives, in our lives. Stories that I hope will encourage you to take very seriously this month of prayer and fasting and seeing people. Praying that people will come to follow Jesus Christ. First story. Happened about, by my estimation, about 45 years ago. Seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? 45 years ago, there was a couple who were stationed at Shepherd Air Force Base. Had some kids, lived in a neighborhood, didn't go to church, at least at that point in their life, weren't going to church. Good people, but really not following the Lord, not keeping up their relationship with Him. And on Sundays, a bus from the 10th and Broad Church of Christ came through their neighborhood. Back in that time, I think, I don't know how many buses, but there was a big, pretty big bus ministry going on. Some of you are going, yeah, I remember that. Which means you were around 45 years ago, which means you're getting like me and you're getting old. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I know that every Sunday morning when that team got on that bus, they prayed. And they prayed for the people that they were about to encounter. They prayed for the kids that they were going to be seeing. They prayed for the kids that were going to get on their bus. They prayed for the families that these kids represented. I know that that happened. I know that they were praying. And they were concerned about people. And somebody on that bus, I guess, knocked on this door. I don't know exactly how the connection was made, but someone took a step. They went and did something, and they identified these kids who weren't going to church on a Sunday morning and invited them to get on the bus and come to church. And they did. And apparently they had a good time. And They wanted to keep coming back. And again, I don't know how it played out, but somewhere along the way, somebody on that bus or somebody from this church met the parents of those kids and got to know them and invited them. And they said yes. And I imagine somewhere along the way, there was some Bible study going on and some conversations that were being had about a relationship with Jesus, about involvement with a church. 45 years ago, and I can look out right now and see Mary Edwards. And I can remember Harry Edwards. 45 years ago, because somebody prayed, because somebody stepped out, had a conversation, asked a question. They went and they did likewise, like Jesus called them to do. And I just ask you to imagine our church without Harry and Mary Edwards. I'm watching you, you're just shaking your head because you can't. I'm imagining you to imagine, what if nobody had prayed? What if nobody had acted? What if nobody had stepped outside of their comfort zone and gone to that door or met those kids or loved on those kids or had that Can you imagine all, besides just salvation and life, can you imagine just for us, all that we would have missed out on? All the blessings that we would have missed? All of the people, literally, in our church and in our community who have been served because of Harry and Mary? And I know Mary doesn't want all that attention. She'd give all the glory to God. But I just want you to remember as you think about this month that's coming up, that's what this is about. There are other people out there. Right this moment. Who are not walking with the Lord. Who may not know Him at all. Or who may have just walked away from Him. Or all kinds of stories out there. But right this moment, there are people. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know with every beat of my heart that God is looking at us and He is saying to us, go and do likewise. That's what we're fixing to do. That's the opportunity that is in front of us. I want to tell you one other story. Because God is already doing it. And so I get to give my testimony this morning to the goodness and graciousness of God. Because this week, I was working through one of the booklets in the packet. The booklet that helps you kind of identify who are the people in your realm, in your spheres of influence, who are the people in your neighborhood, who you play with, who you work with, that I could be praying about. And in the one about my neighbors, I started writing down names because I've told you before I would not be able to exist on my farm without my neighbors. I depend on my neighbors and I'm thankful and grateful for my neighbors. And so I started writing down their names and most of them know the Lord. Most of them have a relationship with Him. Probably all of them could benefit from, as we all could, a stronger and better relationship with the Lord. But I started praying just in the last few days. Just in anticipation for what we're about to do, I started praying for my neighbors again, just by name. And Friday, I was returning something to one of my neighbors. And he looked at me and he said, "Do you have a few minutes that we can visit?" I said, "Well, sure." So we sat down in his Polaris in front of his barn, and he began to share with me just an emptiness in his life, a desire that he would have a better relationship with the Lord? That he would... He didn't use these words. These are the kind of words we would use. That he would just reaffirm, rededicate himself back to Jesus. Get connected with the church. Be in the Word. Be a servant. And my heart was just filling up as he's sitting there telling me this. And he opened the Bible himself. See, here's the thing. God is always at work. He opened the Bible himself. And he read from Romans chapter 10. And he said, this says that, I mean, to believe in the Lord Jesus and confess him with your mouth and you'll be saved. And he said, do you believe that? And I said, well, absolutely, I believe that. And he said, well, what can we do? I mean, do we have to get other people? And I said, well, you know what? Me and you can just do this right here. And so we prayed together. And when we finished, I told him, I said, you know, I just got to tell you that I've been praying for you for the last 2 days. And he, at that moment, you could tell that really struck him. And so on Thursdays, we're going to start getting together and having a discipleship Bible study. Hopefully, some of our other neighbors, that's my prayer, some of our other neighbors will get involved in that. I tell you that story to give all praise and glory to our God and Father, who is always at work, nudging people, drawing people. And what God wants us to do is just pay attention. Put ourselves in those situations so that he just joins us up and we get to participate in what God is doing. I think that's just the first fruits. That's what I'm calling it. That's our first fruits story of the blessing and the harvest that God is about to bring us. Would you join me in praying about that? Father, I am so very grateful. I am so very grateful that you were at work in every one of our lives at some place and some point and some time. That you drew us to your Son. And you saved us. I am so grateful. And I am so thankful that you are always at work to do that. And I speak for myself, and in faith I speak for this church to say we are ready. We're ready to be a part of what you're doing. We're ready to speak the name of Jesus. We're ready to do an act of kindness. We're ready to sacrifice and fast. And we're ready to dedicate ourselves to prayer. And we're ready to start noticing people. And we're ready to walk toward instead of around. And we're ready to be used by you in your harvest. The fields are white unto the harvest. They are ready. You need workers. And we are rising up to offer ourselves to you as workers, knowing that you're already doing the work. Give us eyes to see. Give us a heart of compassion and love. Give us hands that are ready to do, mouths that are ready to speak. And I do pray, Lord, that over these next 30 days and into this year, that you would save people in this city. That you would rescue from darkness and bring into light people in this city. That people who are suffering and in bondage to sin and addiction, to drugs and alcohol and pornography, that you would bring them out of that, Lord. and you would save them and give them life. I pray for people who are struggling in their homes and in their marriages and with their kids. And I pray that you'd bring peace to those homes as you make peace between them and you, that you would save them and you would transform those families. I pray, Lord, for people in our city. And I pray that there would just be an awakening. God, I pray that first of all, you would start with your church. It's where you always start. That you would awaken us. Awaken us to the people around us. And I pray that in the hearts of people in our city, you would awaken a realization, a need, a desire for Jesus and his life. I would pray that you would just awaken a movement of disciple making. And I pray for it in Jesus' name, in the authority and in the power that Jesus has. Amen.